Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Start with the news of Fred Smith's stunning passing Saturday. It was actually Jeffrey who broke the news to me. You were at a concert, is that right?
I was at Live at the Garden, yes.
So, first of all, how was the concert?
Concert was great. Shout out to Third Eye Blind. Everyone seemed to have a really good time.
Did you go because you like Live at the Garden or because you like Third Eye Blind?
Both.
Both.
And the ticket price, right. So shout out to Scott.
Good crowd?
Good crowd. Looked full.
So did you get a text? Did you hear, did someone walk up and say?
So one of my friends that came in town to go to the show with me, he has a buddy that.
We'll just be, you can be vague here.
Yeah, he has a buddy and he said, hey, this is not for, the public right. doesn't know yet. It wasn't like, hey, this is not public.
You're just standing there watching Third Eye Blind.
This is even before the show. I think this is during the opening act. Joy Bomb, I think, was the local band that was opening. And he had just come back from like the restroom. He's like, hey, someone just told me this, and it's someone that would probably know. And so I was like,
Fred Smith had passed away.
I was like, well, I know the person that needs to know.
Well, that is, I mean, it's one of those. It's funny, Buck Welford is a local attorney in town, used to be my neighbor when I lived over on Oak's Edge. And he posted on social media that he found out Saturday that we bombed Iran and Fred Smith died. And he's like, oh my God, Fred Smith died. Yeah.
Same reaction.
The stunning thing about it is it really shouldn't be that stunning that an 80-year-old man has passed away. That's just you look at the life expectancy tables. But Scott Morris sort of put it, he just could not imagine Memphis without Fred Smith. He's always been there. He's the guy who gets us out of any predicament. Goes by one name, Fred.
Yep.
And the notion that Fred is gone is just stunning and gutting and really tough. And I think as it hits, it's with a blend of, and I don't know how you felt about it, shock and gratitude. Right. The tributes have been pouring in, not just locally. Jim Strickland called him the most important Memphian ever. Former mayor Jim Strickland. And no one even you don't even get an argument, you know, but from around the world and then from locally, the tributes have been pouring in. But that's what it is. It is absolute shock and utter gratitude.
Yeah, with a little of melancholy, I suppose.
Oh, no, we'll get into that. It's a little bit like, what now? Like,
I mean, there's no question.
There's like, definitely a what now.
Just thank you.
Yeah. And so the stories have, and I'm sure you've seen them, I have to say, if you haven't read Jane Roberts' piece at the Daily Memphian about Fred and his passing, you should. She talked to Jack Sammons, and Jack's just like, he's the best quote of Memphis. He's a very thoughtful guy on the most important Memphian ever, and the story that Jack told was kind of stunning because people immediately like, what? I didn't even know Fred was ill. Like it was. A week ago or 10 days ago, he appeared at a conference at the Peabody. And then I heard from people who had lunch with him yesterday. And Steve Earhart told me that he'd been texting back and forth with him about whether Fred was going to be able to come to a football dinner later this summer and hoped he would be back in time to go. And it was what in the world? Yeah, he may be older, but
right, but it wasn't like we were dealing with a sick person.
Yeah,
you know
we
what
didn't
I mean?
Think. I mean, Fred was out and about,
right?
And as Jack explained to Jane, he had actually spent the day Saturday in the waiting room of the ER at Baptist East because his brother had been sick.
Yeah.
And so his brother had been sick, and so he'd been hanging out, and he hung out with Jack, and they were telling stories and talking and whatever else. And then evidently he went home and had a heart attack and died early Saturday evening.
Yeah.
So by the time you heard it, it was so just absolutely stunning news. And I think it will take a while to process it. I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that Fred Smith is one of the most impressive and important Memphis business people of the last half century. Mike Glenn, who was the vice president, executive vice president in charge of marketing, and
yep.
I talked to him yesterday, and he called him the greatest business person, you know, of recent vintage in across the country. And we, if you stop, it's funny. There's been a lot of talk. Everyone talks about the Yale paper,
mm-hmm.
right? Where he was a student at Yale. And he submitted a paper that outlined what FedEx would be, overnight delivery service, whatever. And he got a C on the paper. That's the story. Everyone tells it as if it's true. It apparently, he did do a paper at Yale about a delivery service. There's not much evidence that he actually got a C. The quote that people attach is he once said, I don't know, I probably got my typical gentleman C.
Yep.
In other words, he didn't really know what he got. It's a great story that he got a C and that he then FU'd the professor and did it to split. That part of it seems to be. It is true, though, as a student, he did outline this this plan. And he said, I probably got my tip. I guess he wasn't the greatest student at Yale. And he got his quote unquote typical gentleman C, but he actually has no real recollection of what he got on the paper, at least according to Fred himself. The other great legendary story about Fred Smith, of course, is that early on, after he started the company, they didn't have enough money to pay their fuel bill.
Yep.
And so he went to Las Vegas and gambled on the $27,000, I think it was, on blackjack, and got enough money to pay fuel for that week. And those are great sort of Paul Bunyan-esque legendary stories. You don't even need those to explain the incredible greatness of Fred Smith as a business person. And Charles might get mad at me because he's going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow. But when we were growing up, and I had this in my column, and it was a credit to Charles in my column too, actually. If you ordered something from anywhere, it said allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Like, that's the world we grew up in, right?
Well, I mean, I just think about when I was growing up, anytime you'd be watching TV, you'd always just see like the mail-in,
yeah, exactly.
The mail-in ads,
allow
like
6 to 8 weeks for delivery,
batteries
whatever
not
else,
included,
yeah.
Whatever, shipping and handling.
And then the truth is that at the time in 73, when they started service, a stamp was 8 cents. And back then, the Postal Service was pretty damn reliable. You could get something sent somewhere in 2 days. And it would be, it's not like now, yeah. Or maybe it'd be a week, like whatever. And then we also had fax.
Yeah.
Who, this idea that you would have this fleet of airplanes that because you needed it in a day, when you already had fax machines, it sent it crazy. Like, it did seem kind of crazy. I was talking to Pitt Hyde about it. The other thing is that one of the early on, the reason they needed to use the smaller plane they used was there were limits on directs on where you could fly airplanes unless you had a smaller airplane, and
right.
Then you could call it a taxi. And so that's sort of what they did. But then the other thing that Pitt pointed out was they weren't making money. You could fill these planes with every crack and crevice with every letter, and they weren't making money until Fred persuaded Washington to deregulate the freight industry.
Yeah.
And then you could start doing packages, and that's when they actually started making a fortune. Staley Cates, who I talked to, said he would, because he was an investor, and they'd have clients in their mutual funds, and he said you could have a list that have your Hall of Fame entrepreneurs on it, right? And Fred's on that.
Yep.
But then you have your list that had Hall of Fame operators and CEOs on it, and Fred is on that. And there's only a handful of people in history who are on both of those. In fact, Staley told me that the real part of the real genius of Fred, like the paper, the Yale paper, is all about air service. But part of the genius of Fred was he bought these two trucking companies,
yep,
that became FedEx Freight Ground, and FedEx, yep, Ground. And that's what really has enabled them to have the duopoly that has enabled them to flourish in the way that they have flourished. So he is an absolute genius businessman. In addition to like two tours in Vietnam, Purple Heart. I think Sam Hardiman, I had it in his story Saturday that Fred's greatest moment or striking moment in Vietnam was when his men dug the hole for him. He realized his men had dug the foxhole for him, and because that's the regard in which they held him. I mean, you can go back and you look at his commendations. He got a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, Purple Heart. It's just an unbelievable life.
A lot of it is like, if you wrote this character for a movie, you'd be like, come on.
Yeah, come on. You would be, come on. And, Mike also told stories about him. He said, the greatest leader I've ever known, ever worked for, and I could imagine. Two stories he told about that were, one, that he got a promotion when Mike got a promotion to executive vice president. He was feeling pretty good about himself.
The way you would, right?
He's like, look at all I did. And he immediately sees Fred, and Fred tells him, he says, we promoted you on potential.
Not today.
We think you could be good someday.
Right.
But, and then the other story he told was is that when times were hard for FedEx, that's when they were facing trouble. That's when Fred would come in and he'd say, isn't this going to be great? Like, isn't this going to be great when we get through this? There are great days ahead. We are going to get through this and this is going to be great. And then, of course, when they were killing it, that's when he was toughest on people. But he also told, Fred is legendarily unassuming.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much, you went to MUS, so maybe you'd see him around, but Mike told the story of his son was a modest football player. I don't know if he was playing Pee Wee or where he was playing at this stage, and Fred asked about him. Fred always loved to ask about your family, and I'm always struck by people who ask questions of you, who are interested, who are curious beyond themselves, right? Like a lot of folks, let's be honest, aren't curious beyond themselves.
Sure.
Scott Morris says that he met Fred at one point, and Fred asked about his father. Well, his father was shot down in Korea. Scott Morris's father was shot down over Korea. And so the next thing he knows, Fred gets in touch with him. He'd looked up what squadron he was on. He had, and this Scott was just whatever, starting out here, and Fred was interested in other people. Anyway, Mike Glenn, this kid was playing football, and Fred said, I'd like to come see him play. And he said, well, the last game's today. And sure enough, he shows up at the place where they're playing, and there's this white-haired man sitting all by himself. And Mike said he gave him every opportunity throughout the game to leave. His kid played maybe a total of 17 plays on special teams. And Fred never left. He just stayed and stayed. And then there were team pictures. It was the last game, so there were team pictures afterwards and whatever else. And Fred stayed and stayed. And then he wanted to meet with Tucker, and he met with Tucker, and he said, I know you only played 17 plays, but I watched you the whole game. And you're going to be, the way you are attentive, the way you're locked in, the way that you're going to be a, a great football player. And that's like, I wouldn't have stayed all, I wouldn't have stayed all game. Michael Allen, who used to run the Botanic Garden, he posted a story, and you see this all the time, about the time that Fred popped up. Fred was at the Botanic Garden, and he wanted to know where something was. And so he texted or called and Michael Allen said, let me send a golf cart. We'll send a golf cart. Let's see. What, and he said, no, I'm walking here with my granddaughter. He is utterly unassuming. Sort of this classic name, Fred, you know, our guy, Fred. And of course, this is not a secret either. It's astonishing what he did for Memphis. And I was thinking of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where they, you know, play back his life and you imagine the town if he had not existed. And if you imagine a Memphis without Fred Smith, first of all, you'd imagine, you know, our skies would not be filled with the sound that they're filled with, which is FedEx planes, right? Coming overhead.
Driving into work would sound very different.
You wouldn't have tens of thousands of Memphians with the jobs that they have, enriching this community in the ways that they do. The Memphis Grizzlies would not be here. The golf tournament would not be here. The zoo would be a modest, if it might have gone away altogether. It would be a world-class zoo.
Who knows if we'd be here.
Who knows if we'd even if we'd have a zoo. The University of Memphis would not be the competitive research institution that it is. Certainly, the athletic program wouldn't be to the state that it is. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, massive supporter of St. Jude Children's Research. You go right down the line.
I don't think we'd have that new tennis facility.
That's true. It is. I listed a bunch of them in my column, but there's so many more. It's just kind of astounding how this would have been different without Fred. And it is, I think, we have so many challenges as a community. But it is our real good fortune, and has been our real good fortune, that some of the people who are in a position, let's be honest, to up and move themselves or their companies or whatever else, have stayed here and dug in. And it is interesting to me because you see so many people occasionally on Facebook, can't wait to get the hell out of here. A guy who's making, you know, $52,000 doing whatever and is concerned. And Fred, who could have, like, whatever, gotten the
literally
hell out of here.
Literally lived anywhere.
Lived here until literally his dying day and rolled up his sleeves and was working here at making better Memphis a better place literally until his dying day. And it's not just Fred. It's Pitt Hyde is another who was, like, the striking thing there is those two knew each other in third grade. They knew each other in third grade. And like Pitt was on Fred's board for forever, and they have worked together on so many projects. But there are definitely there are others. Certainly Staley's another one. Mason is another one who there are people who could live anywhere and could just shrug and tap out and move on. And they continue to pour themselves into the city in a way that is, it's been immeasurably important. And I do worry and wonder if the next group of folks in Memphis have that same commitment to Memphis, you know, where Fred's commitment came from. Well, I mean, he basically grew up here. He was born in Mississippi.
Marks, yeah.
He was born in Marks, Mississippi, but he grew up here, and he cared about this place, and so this is where he stayed to the end. And he was, like, the story that I led my column with today is a story that I told before, and it's not even close to the most important thing that Fred has done for Memphis. Not, it may not be in the top 100. But it was how many years ago? Was it a year and a half ago when we were having this food fight about who's going to get the state money for the arenas?
I think it might have been 2 years ago this summer.
Yeah.
It was a summer thing. I remember that.
Yeah. So, and it's starting to get a little bit contentious. And so Richard, Fred's son.
Right. I told you right when the.
You
the
told date, me there wasn't going to be enough money. I was right? Like, this is going to get, you were right on that. And And so, and Memphis was pushing hard to get their share of the money. And as Richards told me, he said, I was a little worried that like Memphis would get their share of the money and then there wouldn't be enough for the Grizzlies and we'd be in a hell of a fix. So he said they set up a meeting with the president of the university. And the idea, Richard thought, was we're just going to ask Memphis to go slow. Like, can you stop
pressing? They've gotten very public.
Can you stop pressing quite the way you have? And instead, Fred sits there and he says at some point, and you can read the quote, exact quotes in the column. He said, I've done a little back of the envelope math. It appears you need another $100 million. We'll give $50 million and then you get $50 million in.
And we'll help you raise it.
Matching and we'll help you raise it. And so he just like, he solved the problem. You know, he's like, oh, here's the problem. Memphis needs help. He didn't go to the University of Memphis, but he recognized that a vital, energetic, competitive University of Memphis across all fronts is an incredible importance to the community. And then, of course, subsequently, there's the NIL money and it just an incredible problem solver for Memphis. And like we just focus on the sports part a lot because that's what we do here. But the sports angle has been just, I mean, it is simply true. There are a lot of people who were engaged in bringing the Grizzlies to town. But without Fred Smith and FedEx, it simply would not have happened. David Stern wanted to be the league to be engaged with FedEx. And Fred's not a basketball fan, really pretty much at all. He was a football fan. Like he was a massive football fan. But they didn't need to spend $90 million on naming rights. Like people in Memphis kind of know FedEx. You didn't need to slap the FedEx label on your arena downtown, but without it, it wouldn't happen. Right. Simply, it just would not have happened. And the golf tournament, there's another one. Fred didn't play golf. He didn't care. He'd go to the tournament on Sunday and he'd support. He was incredibly supportive of the tournament because he knew what it meant to FedEx. He knew what it meant to St. Jude. He knew what it meant to Memphis. He was incredibly supportive, but evidently they gave him golf clubs once and he was so good at everything. He could master anything. Legend has it that he read a book a day. I don't know how you could read a book a day, but anyway, that he couldn't quite master golf. And I was told they never saw those golf clubs again.
Wouldn't shock me.
But there you go. There he is. He's supporting the golf tournament. Not because he cares about golf or golf is his thing particularly, because he knew it was important. So it is, it's just like you really do have a sense of comfort that how bad could things get? Because Fred is there, right?
100%.
Yeah, Fred will solve this.
Yep. That'll fix it.
Yeah, they'll fix it. I mean, it's FedEx and Fred. Like, they'll fix it. And now that comfort is gone. And that is really bracing. I go back to, though, to what Fred said when times were tough at FedEx. And there have been times when they're tough at FedEx. He would walk into the room and he would say, isn't this going to be great when we get through it? So I think you just got to tell yourself a little bit as Memphians. No, like Fred isn't there to backstop everything anymore. But isn't this going to be great when we get through it? It was a life extraordinarily well led, full of impact and meaning and just a legendary Memphian. So we'll pay our respects to Fred and to the family.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.